Good morning and welcome to Dr. Ng's Sunday Soul Connection. As always, we begin our time together with Naturally 7 and Let It Be.
Lord, I pray for this day we've come together, that our hearts and memories reflect you.
As always, I'd like to applaud you for taking the next 45 minutes or so out of your busy life to spend this time on a Sunday morning as we consciously come together to commune with the ground of being God in us as us. And today I complete our trilogy of loneliness, alone, and solitude. And I recognize that our English language can sometimes be conflicting and confusing. As I was preparing this, often I would see they would interchange the word alone and solitude as being the same thing. And there is a subtle difference in my mind. There is a subtle nuance. Whilst loneliness is an emotional state of feeling kind of disconnected from sense of self, connection to one another, connection to the divine, and alone is taking the opportunity to spend time by yourself doing things but comfortable with your own company. Solitude, for me, I believe, is where you take yourself away to deepen in your connection with the spirit within you. It's about developing or deepening or continuing a relationship that can be found in the quiet of your being. It's a state of being alone, but not being lonely. And it is something that we can all do, and we can all do it differently, but experience the same results. Because ultimately, it's about an interior experience. Being alone is not necessarily about an interior experience. It could be about exterior experiences, the things you do on your own, whether it's reading a good book, or whether it's taking a walk, or having a soak in the bath. It's things that you are finding pleasurable doing it in your own company. But being in solitude, yes, you're alone, but it is a deepening, a connecting, a communing with that interior awareness of the divine, of the sacred, of the holy. Paul Tillich says it great when he says, our language has widely sensed the two sides of being alone. It has created the word loneliness to express the pain of being alone, and it has created the word solitude to express the glory of being alone. solitude expresses the glory of being alone, because you recognize you are connecting and communing with the ground of your being, the source of all that is, God in you as you. And in doing so, you are refreshed, you are replenished, you are renewed, you are uplifted, you are inspired, you are guided and directed as to next steps for your life's unfoldment. Solitude is a great time for reflection. It's a searching and it's a developing and it's a growing in a way that few other opportunities allow. When we are so busy in the busyness of life and living, we are merely going almost from one thing to another, from one crisis to another crisis, from one experience to another experience. Solitude allows for that inner deep reflection. And it isn't that you need to be a hermit and go and sit in a cave to experience solitude. And sometimes we experience solitude in different ways, in different conditions. Some people, yes, will need to be in silence, or go on a silent retreat, or take themselves away. But for others, you can find solitude out walking as you deepen and connect with nature. Or sometimes you can be listening to music, and that transports you to a state where you are so connected to grace that you just receive downloads of inspiration from the ground of being, God in us. And I'm never one to say there is only one way to experience something or one way to do something. The great thing about life is that the creator of it has allowed for umpteen ways to experience the same thing. Our God, our Father, our Mother, our Divine Beloved has infinite and numerous ways in which we can all experience the same thing. And so my advocating this morning is not for giving you any one thing to do or one way to do it, but the invitation is just to recognize that we all need solitude for our soul to be fed, for our spirit to be nourished, for our self to connect with our greater self. You see, I like when someone said, I think it was Arnie, no, not Arnie, someone said that solitude, when we have solitude, it's something that, I want to say it exactly because it is beautifully put. I will find it later and I will share it with you because it, there it is. He says there is a difference between loneliness and solitude. One will empty you and one will fill you. That is the beauty of solitude. That is the gift of solitude. It will fill you up. It will help you to expand in your awareness of the beauty and the blessings of life and of the beauty and the blessings of spirit within you, God in you as you. I want to share some of our sacred texts. I have a couple this morning that I want to share with you. The first is from, let me find it correctly, Luke 5:15-16. But now, even more, the report about him went abroad, and great crowds gathered to hear him, to be healed of their infirmities. But he would withdraw to desolate places and pray. My second sacred text is from Mark 6:31, and he said to them, come away by yourselves to a desolate place and rest a while. You see, Jesus, our teacher, demonstrated by his example the importance, the necessity of taking yourself away from the fray of life and living. There are always going to be things that are vying for your attention, for your acknowledgement, for your experiencing of them. There are always going to be things that has to be done or you think has to be done in this moment. But Jesus recognized that it was necessary for his spirit, necessary for his soul, necessary for his well-being to go to a desolate place. And as I said previously, you don't necessarily have to go off and hide in a cave or something. But you do need to be intentional about taking yourself away and entering into solitude and experiencing the blessings, the gift, the grace that comes from doing so. And we have to recognize that solitude has to have certain preconditions met. Kenneth Rubin, a developmental psychologist in the University of Maryland, calls it the if. He says solitude can be productive only if it is voluntary, if one can regulate one's emotions effectively, if one can join a social group when desired, and if one can maintain positive relationships outside of it. When such conditions aren't met, yes, solitude can be harmful. He says, consider the Hikomori phenomenon in Japan, where hundreds and thousands of depressed or troubled young people had quartered themselves away. Sometimes for years, they wouldn't go out and mix with people. And often they would require extensive reintegration therapy in order to move on and enter back into society. He says, the difference between solitude as rejuvenation and solitude as suffering is the quality of self-reflection that one can generate while in it, the ability to come back to social groups when one wants to. You see, you are not separating yourself from your world, from your family, from your friends. It's important as the conditions, the preconditions, in order to get the benefits are met. That you still connect with friends and loved ones, that you still embrace all the things you enjoy doing, but you recognize that it is important for your soul to take a step away, to be in communion with God. And when you can do that, the rewards are amazing. When you can allow yourself to enter into solitude, you can feel and experience the presence of God like no other thing or other way can allow. My stories that I kind of want to share, they're short stories, sort of, but things that I think will help bring forth what I'm trying to say. The first says, the Christian solitary does not require solitude merely as an atmosphere or as a setting for a special and exalted spirituality. Nor does he seek solitude as a favorable means for obtaining something he wants. Contemplation. He seeks solitude as an expression of his total gift of himself to God. This was written by the Trappist monk Thomas Merton in his 1956 spiritual classic. The author states that solitude is not just a recipe for hermits, but a means to keeping society together. Individuals need to retreat from the exigencies of the pressures of work in order to dialogue with God. Merton outlines some aspects of the spiritual life that set the stage for solitude. Gratitude, keeping awake, practicing humility, listening, and unifying our lives. You see, silence as the mother of truth, as a divine milieu. He calls the Psalms the true garden of the solitary. By surrendering ourselves to God, we nurture our love for others while we are apart from them. This is the true fruit and the true purpose of Christian solitude. The world of men has forgotten the joys of silence, the peace of solitude, which is necessary to some extent for the fullness of human living. Man cannot be happy for long unless he is in contact with the springs of spiritual life which are hidden in the depths of his own soul. If man is exiled constantly from his own home, locked out of his own spiritual solitude, he ceases to be a true person. It is a deep solitude and silence that I find the gentleness with which I can truly love my brother and sister. Not all of us are called to be hermits, but all of us need enough silence and solitude in our lives to enable the deeper voice of our own self to be heard at least occasionally. Solitude is not something you must hope for in the future, rather it is a deepening of the present, and unless you look for it in the present, you will never find it. I hold Thomas Merton in such regard, and whilst we are not of the same faith tradition, he was a Catholic priest. His writings and his inclusions and his understanding and awareness of God is truly deeply spiritual. And the second short story I want to share is by Doris Grumbach. She says, faced with a rare opportunity to experiment with solitude, Doris Grumbach decided to live in her coastal Maine home without speaking to anyone for 50 days. The result is a beautiful meditation about what it means to write, to be alone, and to come to terms with mortality. She says, I had told people of my intention to be alone for a time. At once I realized they looked upon this declaration as a rejection of them and their company. I felt apologetic, even ashamed, that I would have wanted such a curious thing as solitude, and then sorry that I had made a point of announcing my desire for it. To the spouse or the longtime companion or the family, and to the social circle, as it is called, the decision to be alone for any length of time is dangerous, threatening, a sign of rejection. Having never felt the need to be alone themselves, having always lived happily in relationships, they looked upon my need as eccentric, even somewhat mad. But more than that, they saw it as fraudulent, an excuse to be rid of them, rather than a desperate need to explore myself. Sometimes I think people find the need for people to be alone in solitude, as Doris exclaims, as an attack against them, as if you are somehow saying their company is not enough or not needed, which is quite the opposite. What you're actually saying is that you want to deepen in your companion with God, and that sometimes that needs to be wholeheartedly done on your own. My prose poem that I want is from Hugh Cracker, from Notes to Myself. He says, it is sometimes said that each of us is ultimately alone. This idea is compelling, not because of birth and death, but because so often our moments alone seem more true, more real. I need solitude, like I need food and rest, and like eating and resting. Solitude is most healing when it fits the rhythm of my needs. Originally scheduled aloneness does not nourish me. Solitude is perhaps a misnomer. To me, being alone means togetherness, the recoming, togetherness of myself and nature, of myself and being, the reuniting of myself with all other selves. Solitude especially means putting the parts of my mind back together, unifying the pieces of my mind back together, unifying the pieces of myself scattered by anger and fear, until I once again see the little things that are little and the big things are big. I think that paints a wonderful picture of some of the benefits when we come together in solitude. As he puts it, the unifying of the different parts of self that have been scattered by anger or fear. As we truly choose to deepen in our solitude, in our connection, in our communion with the ground of being, all sense of otherness, separation, annoyance, anxieties melt away. So as he says, the little things are little, we see them so clearly. And we can see what things we need to hand over to God, what things we need to hand over to Spirit, what things no longer serve us. We can look at Jesus, our teacher, for the example of going into solitude. He tells us often that we need to come apart a while to commune with the Father, the ground of being who sees and hears in secret and rewards us openly. We need to take time to take ourselves away from the busyness of life and living, from all that would distract us and disturb us. Solitude is not something to avoid or fear. It is something that we should welcome and enjoy. And we now insist that solitude is the place of purification and transformation, the place of that great struggle and the great encounter. We struggle when we think of going off to be alone with God. The mind chatters, distracts us with numerous thoughts of things that are inconsequential. But when we can quiet and settle in, we have a great encounter with God. My Science of Mind reading this morning is entitled, Be Still and Know. The first quote comes from Abu Yazid al-Bistami. All this talk and turmoil and noise and movement and desire is outside the veil. Inside the veil is silence and calm and peace. Second quote from The Science of Mind, Ernest Holmes. The spirit within me is in perfect rest. The center of my being is quiet and poised. I let my inner spirit fill my whole being with peace and stillness. I let the divine tranquility fill me. The author writes, it seems counterintuitive to write about stillness inside the veil, that secret place of the Most High, as Dr. Ernest Holmes calls it. Using words to capture the essence of that sacred silence is difficult. I know it, I have felt it, and I have done what I can to rest in it during my times of meditation, contemplation, and solitude. How can I describe it for someone else? I can tell you that the reverberations and energies of the stillness that is the Godhead within my soul are powerful yet peaceful. When I can close the door on the commotion and the noise of this world and enter the inner sanctuary, all is harmony, order, and love. In this place, nothing can disturb my serenity, even when actually, especially when, my human experience is discordant. Psalm 46 of the Old Testament tells us, "Be still. I know that I am God." The world asks us to be busy, but God asks us to be still, so that we can hear its voice and be open to receiving love and guidance. Nothing in creation is so like God as stillness, says Meister Eckhart. Is it any wonder that if we are distracted by texts, Snapchat, Instagram, Facebook, music, television, radio, or our Fitbit, we drift further away from the inner call of a soft voice. It's time to drop the world, pull aside the veil, and go inside. You will always hear, "Welcome home, beloved." So let us now go into our inner sanctuary for a little solitude and connection with the source of all that is, the ground of being God in us as us. And if you haven't already, I'd like to invite you to close your eyes, to bring your attention to your breath, a gentle inhalation and exhalation. The ebbing and the flow, the contraction and expansion. And always I like to remind you of the words of Job. He said, "It is the Spirit of God that hath made me. It is the breath of the Almighty that gives me life." Let us be conscious as we take the next 3 deep breaths in, that we are breathing in the life-giving, energizing, renewing, restorative breath of God. Inhale. Below the diaphragm, extend the stomach. And breathe in the breath of life. Hold. Gently, slowly, inhale. Hold. Gently, slowly. For the third and the final time, inhale. Hold. Gently, slowly release. Always at this time, we like to honor the temple of the Holy One, to acknowledge with gratitude the work that's so necessary for life and that we're so unconscious of and sometimes not always grateful. As we take a moment to acknowledge both the positive and the negative emotions and acknowledge with gratitude the worth of each organ. To bring your attention down into your heart, offer gratitude for this wonderful organ that pumps the life-giving blood around your body. Inhale, affirm. This is my breath as I breathe in love. Exhale. This is my breath as I breathe out cruelty. Inhale. This is my breath as I breathe in joy. Exhale. This is my breath as I breathe out impatience. Bring your attention to your kidneys. Take a moment and be grateful for the work that the kidneys do as it eliminates the waste and the toxic substances out from the body. Inhale. This is my breath as I breathe in gentleness. Exhale. This is my breath as I breathe out fear. Inhale. This is my breath as I breathe in calmness. Exhale. This is the breath as I breathe out stress. Now bring your attention to your liver. take a moment and just be grateful for the work that the liver carries out as it detoxifies and cleanses your blood, which is so necessary to fight infection. Inhale. This is my breath as I breathe in kindness. Exhale. This is my breath as I breathe out anger. Inhale. This is my breath as I breathe in generosity. Exhale. This is my breath as I breathe out frustration. Bring your attention to your lungs. Take a moment and acknowledge with gratitude the work that the lungs, as it carries out, bringing in the air from the atmosphere and passing the oxygen around your body through the blood. Inhale. This is my breath as I breathe in honesty. Exhale. This is my breath as I breathe out depression. Inhale. This is my breath as I breathe in courage. Exhale. This is my breath as I breathe out sadness. Now bring your attention down to your stomach. We often complain about our stomach, but rarely do we take time to acknowledge how it stores and mixes and breaks down the food that gives us the energy that we need. Take a moment to thank your stomach. Inhale. This is my breath as I breathe in fairness. Exhale. This is my breath as I breathe out anxiety. Inhale. This is my breath as I breathe in trust. Exhale. This is my breath as I breathe out worry. And our body is so complex. There are so many systems, the skeletal, the nervous, the muscular, the respiratory, the endocrine, the integumentary, the urinary, the reproductive, all of these systems. Just take a moment to just say thank you. And now affirm. The divine within me is wholeness. And my mind reflects this wholeness into every organ, every function, every action, every reaction of my physical being, renewing it after the perfect pattern, the Christ within me. Take a deep breath in as we enter into our circle of prayer. As always, you're invited to include anything or anyone that's in need of prayer at this time. We know that God is the center that is everywhere present at every point in space and time. But there is nowhere where God is not. And so let us be cognizant. Let us be conscious. Let us connect with the God of our being that is right here, right now. Divine beloved Mother, Father, God, as we take this time to consciously come into communion with you this morning, as we take this time to acknowledge the benefits of being in solitude with you, that we can be refreshed and replenished, that we can be inspired and innovated, that we can be uplifted and grace-filled. Let us find the way that is right for each individually, for every one of us. to take time on a constant, regularly basis to find time alone to be with you. So we can enter into the silence and hear the still small voice that is ever welcoming us home, that is ever waiting our connection and conscious communion with it. Take a moment to rest in solitude now. Mother, Father, God, there are times when our words seem so empty and our prayers so fruitless and unnecessary. Fruitless and unnecessary in the sense that you already know what we have need of even before we have need of it. So let us consciously choose to just open our hearts and minds to be filled full with the conscious awareness of your divine presence at the core of our being, illuminating us, guiding us, inspiring us, directing us, providing for us. And however, in whatever way we choose to find ourselves in solitude with you, let us enter it with no expectancy of anything, but purely with an open heart and mind to just consciously be. Mother, Father, God, you know that in all my prayers I surrender our world to you. There is so much happening that I couldn't even list it if I even knew it all. But I take this moment to surround our world with light, with love, with peace. I take this moment to see all its inhabitants, all sentient beings, with their needs being met in whatever way, shape, or form is necessary or right for them. Mother, Father, God, for anything I may have failed to ask for, I know you will not fail to bless, for it is your good pleasure to give us the kingdom. That kingdom of peace, that kingdom of joy, that kingdom that is life itself. For your infinite grace, your endless blessings, your eternal mercies, we are ever grateful. And so it is. And so it is. Take a deep breath in as we do our movement prayer. Stretch your hands towards the sky. Wiggle your fingers and affirm, I am one with all that is. Cross your hands, palms down over your heart and affirm, I am love expressing in human form. Bring your hands as if in prayer in front of your lips and affirm, I speak only words that are uplifting and are positive. Drop your hands to your sides, palms open and affirm, I'm grateful for every blessing in my life. Bend your elbows, make small circles with your wrists and affirm, I release all limiting thoughts and beliefs. Take a deep breath in as I mute the phones for affirmations and Buddhist reflections. Repeat after me. I embrace the silence.
I embrace the silence.
And the peace of my soul.
And the peace inside my soul.
And release everything else.
And release everything else.
My Buddhist reflections, if anyone has hurt or harmed me.
If anyone has hurt or harmed me.
Knowingly or unknowingly, in thought, word, or deed.
Knowingly or unknowingly, in thought, word, or deed.
I freely forgive them, and I ask forgiveness. If I have hurt or harmed anyone. Knowingly or unknowingly, in thought, word, or deed. I forgive the past and close the door. I forgive all and resentment is dissolved. I forgive myself and I am at peace.
I accept myself and I am free.
May I feel protected and safe. Contented and at peace. May my physical body provide me with strength. May my life unfold smoothly and with ease. May I be happy. May I be peaceful.
May I be free.
May my friends be happy. May they be peaceful. May they be free.
For those that challenge me be happy.
May they be peaceful. May they be free. May all beings be happy. May they be peaceful.
May they be free.
Now, prayer of intention. I am the light of God within and without.
I am the light of God within and without.
Radiating brightly. I am the love of God within and without. Expressing unconditionally. I am the power of God within and without.
Manifesting exuberantly.
I am the presence of God within and without. Eternal and unceasingly. A rumination, Rumi says, if you love someone, you are always joined with them. In joy, in absence, in solitude, in strife. So as our closing benediction, as this the end of Pride Month, I've taken this from the Religious Institute. Loving God, in your wisdom, you created a world rich with diversity. We give thanks for the gifts of sexual orientation and gender identity. We celebrate with our queer, transgender, bisexual, lesbian, and gay siblings who choose to come out and honor those who do not. We say yes to the diversity among us, within ourselves, our families, our neighbors, and our communities. We claim that diversity as we come before you and as we go out into the world. At times, we turn away from this diversity, fearful of its transformative power. We reject that which is different, force it to be silent, or pretend that it does not exist. We participate in systems that privilege sameness and uproot difference. Give us the courage to live boldly into the mystery of diversity, the strength to persevere in the face of adversity, and the power to love in ways that go beyond understanding. Help us create a world where all queer, transgender, bisexual, lesbian, and gay people can flourish. And so it is. So my closing song, Beloved, all just to remind you, there will be 10 at 10 this week, as usual. Our 10-minute midweek top-up. It's by Tasha Layton, and it's called Filled Up. Enjoy.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You're burning candles at both ends. Can't close your eyes cause you're ready to spin. You found your place, all like castles in the sand. When the tide goes out, the tide comes in. Child of God, you were never alone.